Welcome, friends, to Living the Adventure. I am your radio host, George Runyon, and I'm so glad you have joined us as we study together God's Word. I hope you can go on this journey with me every Sunday at 6:30 here on GOD Radio 1 as we learn how to develop our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Be sure to invite a friend to listen each Sunday at 6:30. Thank you to all who listen and support these broadcasts in helping defray the financial costs. Your help is very much appreciated. Please drop us a note and let us know you're listening and give us your comments on the program. You can write us at CCM, that's City Church Ministries, P.O. Box 152-388, San Diego, California, 92195. Now let's pray and begin today's lesson, developing your relationship with the Holy Spirit. Father, we humbly come before you as we begin this broadcast. Lord, we just simply say we need your help. We need you to help us and to guide us through your word and to cause it to be established in our very inner being and in our mind so that, Lord, we might walk by your word, be led by your spirit in Jesus' precious name. So we commit the broadcast to you and we thank you for your faithful presence, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, last week we ended talking about the Holy Spirit in the area of faithfulness, the fruit of the Spirit of faithfulness. And we prayed that the Holy Spirit would strengthen us in our faithfulness and ask for a greater commitment to his interests. And today we're going to pick up with the fruit of gentleness found in Galatians 5:22-23. The fruit and the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness, the Bible says. King David, in his testimony of the Lord in 2 Samuel 22:36, says this: "Your gentleness has made me great." New King James Version. And 2 Samuel 22, David wrote a song to the Lord in gratitude for God's deliverance from the hands of his enemies, including King Saul. David began by declaring that the Lord is his rock, his fortress, his deliverer. In verse 36, David spoke of God's gentleness. In the King James translates the word gentleness there. The New American Standard Bible translates the word gentleness as help. Gentleness speaks of the Lord's help in our life. Our God is an ever-present help in the time of need. For he said, "I will never desert you, I will never forsake you," so that we confidently say, "The Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What shall man do to me?" Hebrews 13:5-6, the writer of Hebrews writes. The writer of Hebrews also exhorted us by saying, "Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need." Hebrews 4:16. In all these exhortations, we find gentleness of the Lord revealed. The scriptures repeat David's conviction of God's help in Psalms 18:35. "You have also given me the shield of your salvation, and your right hand upholds me, and your gentleness makes me great." In this verse, the translators use the word gentleness. Paul, as he instructed the church at Corinth, spoke about this attitude in which we handle them. "Now I, Paul, myself urge you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, I who am meek when face to face with you, but bold toward you when absent." 2 Corinthians 10:1. Paul strongly depended upon Christ and his meek and gentle spirit to be manifest in and through him as he ministered to God's people. Before Paul's encounter with Jesus, he was hard and legalistic in his dealings with God's people. Later, as Christ's apostle to the Gentiles, he was the representative of Christ. He understood that it was Christ's Spirit in him ministering to the Lord's people. The fruit of the Spirit in the believer is gentle. He administers the salvation of God with gentleness and meekness. God does not come with an attitude, I am the Lord, and you better obey me. Rather, he draws us to himself through his mercy and grace. He takes his time ministering his salvation to each of us. At times, he cries for the lost through an intercessor. Other times, he lays his burden of the salvation of a person on the heart of a believer. The Spirit of God is gentle in his dealings. The testimony of David should be ours as well. Let's pray and ask God to help us in this area. Father, I pray for the Holy Spirit to give me the shield of salvation for every problem I face. I ask to uphold me with the nature of Jesus and then to strengthen me with your gentleness. Make me great for your glory. Your right hand upholds me and your gentleness makes me great. Amen. What a tremendous understanding the Bible brings us on this word gentleness. Now, we want to talk about the manifestation of our salvation by giving us self-control. Also mentioned in Galatians 5:20-23. The fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Against such there is no law. The last attitude that Paul mentions to the Galatians is self-control. The word temperance used in the King James is translated self-control in the New American Standard Bible. Paul shared Christ with Felix in Acts 24:25. He discussed righteousness, self-control, and judgment with the governor there, Felix. God's desire for every believer is self-government. That was God's plan in the beginning for Adam and Eve. Out of a relationship with God, Adam was expected to govern his own life within the surroundings where the Lord had placed him. Jesus, whom Paul calls the last Adam, who is a life-giving spirit, 1 Corinthians 15:45, governed himself out of his relationship with the Father through the Holy Spirit. It is possible for each believer to be self-governing if one is fully surrendered to the Spirit of God. Self-control is very important in the marriage bond. Consider Paul's instruction to stop depriving one another, except by agreement, for a time that you may devote yourself to prayer and come together again, lest Satan tempt you because of your lack of self-control. 1 Corinthians 7:5-6. Paul also gave instructions concerning the unmarried. If they do not have self-control, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. 1 Corinthians 7:9-10 deals with that. Peter also dealt with the subject of self-control by writing, "In your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance." 2 Peter 1:6. He's talking about virtues that needed to be added together. We won't take time to turn to all of it. You can read that. 2 Peter 1 is a very important portion of Scripture. Peter gave his own list of disciplines for the Christian life, and self-control is right in the center. Are there areas in your life that are out of control and need the power of this attitude? Can you list areas in your life in which self-control operates freely? I want to be clear that I am not speaking about a person by their own strength and effort living a life of self-control. I am addressing an attitude of the Holy Spirit living within us. We can live a life of self-control by surrendering our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ through the power of His Spirit. So again, let's pray and ask the Father to help us. I ask for the Holy Spirit to show me areas of my life needing your power, Father, of self-control. I ask for the Spirit to strengthen me with this attitude in specific areas in which you make me aware. Lord, I want to live under your governmental rule and demonstrate a lifestyle of self-control in all I do. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for this part of your nature in me. Now we want to move on and talk about the Spirit lifting us up. Ezekiel 3, verse 12 says, "Then the Spirit lifted me up, and I heard a great rumbling sound behind me. Blessed be the glory of the Lord in this place." The Spirit of God comes with a single purpose, to declare the glory of the Lord. Ezekiel's commission is described in Ezekiel chapter 3. The Lord commanded him to go to his people, which are in exile, and speak to them, whether they listen or not, Ezekiel 3:11. The Spirit of God is not dissuaded by those who do not listen. He still proclaims God's will and purpose. The Spirit speaks through any individual willing to be a servant. Once when I was overseas, I was a speaker for a large evangelistic meeting. The minister that had invited me, in my view, was not handling the meeting properly. On the first night, he was elevating himself and not listening to the Spirit's desire. That evening, as I laid in bed, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. Tell that brother he is not handling the meeting properly, that he is making it about himself and the promotion of his ministry. I told the Lord that I did not want to confront the man. The Lord spoke to me in no uncertain terms, that I was of no use to him unless I obeyed and did what he was instructing me to do. Well, I repented and obeyed the Spirit, and the man actually heard me and did change. What the Spirit of God was commanding Ezekiel to do was not easy. The Spirit of God lifted Ezekiel up so he could hear what the Lord wanted done. He then gave Ezekiel the ability to declare the word. Of the Lord and perform all that God had instructed. The same Spirit that lifted up the prophet lifted up the Lord Jesus Christ when he said, "And if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to myself." John 12:32. God lifted up his Son to draw men into a relationship with himself. The Spirit of God has come to lift us up too. The Holy Spirit lifts us up before the Father and presents us as righteous and holy through the blood of Jesus. He also wants to lift us up before men, that they might see what God has done in our lives and magnify the Lord. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in the proper time, 1 Peter 5:6-7 tells us. Father, we ask for the Holy Spirit to create in us a great desire to obey all you have commanded. I ask for grace to walk in humility so that you can lift me up at your choosing. I want to make myself available to the Holy Spirit. Father, I am your servant, and you have the right to command me. Give me grace to obey whatever you command. And so let's speak about how the Lord puts his Spirit upon us. Matthew 12:18. Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my Spirit upon him. And so he did. The Spirit of God does not come upon us out of our choosing, but rather God himself has chosen us. God chose to send his only begotten Son and redeem us from unrighteousness. The Spirit of the Lord is the one who draws us to the Father through Christ. Jesus said that no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, John 6:44. It is the Father who works by his Spirit to draw an individual to Christ. The Father initiates and the Spirit responds. It is the Holy Spirit who convicts of sin, righteousness, and judgment, John 16:8. God's great joy is to put his Spirit upon all those who embrace his Son, embracing him as God's anointed one, and accepting all Jesus did through his earthly ministry. Matthew 12:18-21 fulfills what the prophet Isaiah spoke hundreds of years before Christ, when the Father promised his Spirit would be upon his servant. The Father promised the Son that he would give the Holy Spirit to all those who believed on the Son. Jesus' instruction to his disciples was, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Luke 24:49. Many are still following Jesus' instructions to wait for the promise of his Father. Multitudes today have received the Lord's salvation and his promise of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is still being poured out today in the general church gatherings, in house meetings, and even in the privacy of one's own home. Unfortunately for some, it has only been an experience. Many of the Lord's precious people have not waited on the Lord for the empowerment of his Holy Spirit. Please don't only seek an experience, but rather seek the person of the Holy Spirit, that you might be filled with him and empowered to do the Father's will. Ask the Holy Spirit to create in you a desire to wait for his empowerment to do God's will. Waiting on the Lord is not a natural response, but a desire which comes from God himself. As you wait upon him, the Spirit of God will manifest his transforming presence. His power will reveal God's will in your life. His power will release the fruit of the Spirit. His power will be the key to his gifts operating through you. Now Jesus, as he obeyed the Lord in Mark 1:10, it says, immediately coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. What a beautiful picture the Lord gives us here. Immediately he saw the heavens open as he obeyed his Father. As Jesus stood in the waters of baptism, he saw the heavens open. Jesus was standing in the very center of God's will. The water spoke of his coming death, burial, and resurrection. By his action publicly before heaven, he was declaring, I am committed to do the Father's will. I am dead to myself and alive to the Father's purpose. He stood as a man in the weakness of his flesh in the waters. If you can get that picture, there's Jesus in the water as a man before the Lord. In the same way we are weak, he stood there in weakness. In the same way we are weak, we could only accomplish what he had been sent to do with the Father's help. So Jesus fully became a man, and he took on even the weakness of man. He did not operate in divinity. Yes, he was God in the flesh, created in the flesh, but he did not operate in that divinity. He was dependent upon the Holy Spirit. He could only accomplish what he had been sent to do with the Father's help. Seeing his only begotten Son surrender, the Father immediately responded by opening the heavens and sending the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God descended in the form of a dove. His wings spread and ready to land. The Holy Spirit came to fully cover the Lord Jesus during his earthly ministry. Jesus was totally under the wings of his heavenly Father's love and grace. The Spirit of God knew that the earth would be his home until the full purpose of the Father was completed. Jesus was the first man whom the Spirit came to rest and remain on, but many more would follow. In like manner, the disciples obeyed the Lord when he instructed them to wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father, Luke 24:49. They truly did not know what to expect, but they obeyed. 10 days later, the Holy Spirit came like a violent rushing wind, Acts 2:2. He came upon them just as Jesus had promised. 120 were waiting in the upper room. This was the same room where the disciples 50 days earlier had shared their last meal with Jesus before his crucifixion. Now God was about to anoint with his Spirit all those who obeyed Jesus' instructions to wait. The disciples waited to be empowered to do all that Jesus had commanded. We must surrender as Jesus did, with determination to do the will of the Father. We too must do what the disciples did and wait for the promise of the Father. It is one thing to experience the Holy Spirit in a meeting, and quite another to be anointed in order to fulfill the call of God in one's life. Oh, we need to understand that. So important. So let's ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to us what he has purposed to do in our lives, and that we might truly be anointed to fulfill God's will. An experience is made up of feelings, whereas an anointing comes with power and authority to carry out the command. Heavenly Father, I ask you to do for your power to live fully in the life of your people and in my life, Lord, that we might be your witnesses in our sphere of influence. And we thank you, Lord, for this in Jesus' precious name. Let's look at one more area before we close today. And that is, in you I am well pleased, the Lord said to the Father said to the Lord Jesus. A voice came out of the heavens, "You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased." The Father loves to confirm the faithfulness of his sons and daughters. Jesus is the one who made it possible for us to be reconciled to the Father. He is the one who gives us the right to become the children of God, John 1:12 tells us. Every believer stands accepted before God because Jesus was fully accepted by the Father. I want you to get that. Because of Jesus being fully accepted, you're accepted as you put your faith in him. That is such a powerful truth that the Scriptures amplify in the New Covenant. Every believer stands accepted before God because Jesus was fully accepted by the Father. Mark 1:11, the Father audibly declared his pleasure from the heavens over Jesus. Many believers have a hard time receiving the love of the Heavenly Father because of bad experiences with an earthly father. Many people have not heard their earthly father speak words of acceptance and affirmation, but rather judgments and condemnation. Jesus came for the specific purpose of revealing the Father. He who has seen me has seen the Father, John 14:9. The disciples experienced how Jesus treated them and saw how he treated others. Through this, the Father's love was revealed. The disciples had known of God through the law, but now they were learning of him through God's love and grace. What a tremendous understanding that is that comes out of the New Testament. The Gospel of John declares that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, John 3:16. Paul wrote that he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, Ephesians 1:6. The Holy Spirit has come to reveal the Father's love. He is grieved when we when you and I have barriers that in receiving that love. Those barriers can be broken if you will allow the Spirit of grace to open your heart to the Father's love. He will give you a spirit of forgiveness toward an earthly father who had wounded you. He will give you the courage to trust and believe your Heavenly Father Father's word of acceptance. He will help you not only to know his love, but to be empowered to share his love. Ask the Holy Spirit to search your heart and expose any areas hindering you from hearing the Father say, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, through my Son Jesus." That's how God sees us. It's through the Son, not through our own efforts, but through our obedience to the Son. The Father responds to us. We need to have confidence. We can, the Scriptures make it clear how much the Father loves humanity. The three letters recorded in the Bible written by John, the Beloved, express the Father's focused love for every believer. The Gospel of John declares that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And we already looked at what Paul wrote in Ephesians 1:6. And so the Holy Spirit is present even today to accomplish his work in your life if you'll just allow him to. Lord, I open my heart to the fullness of your love. Please give me grace to forgive anyone I need to forgive. I realize that my unforgiveness stands in the way of receiving your love. By faith, I receive your love made possible through your Son in the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, that's a lot to take in this evening, but I hope that was helpful. So we're just going to close by thanking you for joining us today. And if you'd like a copy of any of my books, go to our website, www.sdccm.org/shop. The order form is there. Your contribution helps us with the broadcast time. Please drop us a note and let us know you're listening and give us your comments on the program. It'll really encourage us if you'll do that. You can write us at CCM, P.O. Box 152-388, San Diego, California, 92195. Now, again, thank you, and remember, walk with the King. He will give you the power you need to walk this this life, this new birth life that he's given to you in Christ, and affect the kingdom of God throughout the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.